today, August 30, 2021. This is The Better Life. I'm your host, Timothy Lawson. Living a better life means checking out some new local casinos to realize I'm never coming back here. Just a couple days ago, I guess a handful of days ago now, goodness, time flies when you're not doing podcasts, I ran up to Bet Bash, a little sports betting meetup up in Jersey City. I'll get to more of that in a second. The following day, when I drove back down to D.C. from New York, I decided to swing by a couple new casinos that I'd never been to. By new, I mean new to me. These casinos were nowhere near new. I went to Delaware Park, which is a racino in Delaware. Low ceilings. It's a really long casino because it stretches the length of the racetrack, right? So the building that is the casino, you know, you walk in sort of at one end of the racetrack and then it goes all the way to the other side, which is, it makes wandering the casino kind of exhausting because you're really just going back and forth down this really long casino. I hung out there. I played some Buffalo Diamond while I was there. I'll get to my slot play, my increased slot play in a second. I have a confession to make there. Played some Buffalo Diamond, the 4x multiplier free spin. I think I sat down when it was at like 85 or something like that, just north of 80. And I played for quite a while until it finally triggered at 115 free spins. And it was an underwhelming free spin bonus game or whatever. I did get all of the money that I had put into the machine to get there back. So I guess it's as much as I could really hope for, but definitely not getting that time back. But that's okay, and I'll explain why in a second. So Delaware Park, I'm probably not rushing back. There was nothing really about it or its players rewards. There's no like hotel right there, right? So there's no reason to think that, you know, like you're not staying there for any reason. Definitely a locals joint, right? It definitely has that vibe. Not my thing. I don't know if I'll go back. We'll see. Then I went and swung over about a half hour away to Hollywood Perryville in North Maryland. I don't know if I've become so certain that I'm never coming back to a casino so quickly in my life than when I was at Hollywood Perryville. First of all, super small casino. It was about the size of it reminded me of Isle Bettendorf, the one in Iowa that I've recently been to. It was just one of those casinos where you can stand at one corner and so long as, there isn't a big slot machine in your way, you can look across and see the opposite corner of the casino and everything else that's in the building. They only had a handful of table games open. This was Thursday evening, early evening, I guess. They only had a few casino games open. Their craps table was half a tub, right? They only had one half staffed, and it was the sides were full. I went to checkouts. I went to swipe my choice card, right? Because I'm so used to going to Hollywood Charlestown there in West Virginia, which is under the My Choice ecosystem. And it wasn't reading, and I was like, this is weird. And then I was like, wait. So I went to Players Rewards. Hollywood is still on the old, like the original Hollywood, this Hollywood Perryville is still on the original Hollywood, whatever it is, I can't even remember what it's called, system. So I signed up for it. I didn't even ask about the sign up. I was like, yeah, okay, let me get a player's card. Didn't come with free play. Didn't come with any promotion. It was just like, here's your card. I should have asked about if there was a promotion ahead of time. Otherwise, I wouldn't have bothered getting a card. Then I wandered around the casino, which took about a total of 45 seconds to wander the casino. And there wasn't a machine I cared to play. There wasn't... Because here's the thing. Here's the dilemma that I was in now. After getting my card and doing like a quick lap, I was like, yep, never coming back here again. But here's the thing. Since I'm never coming back here, now's my only time to get a chip, right? I've been here. Let me get my chip. So then I'm like, all right, well, how am I gonna get, how, what kind of gambling can I do to get my chip? There's really no, there was no machine I really cared to play. There was no video poker, or the, that was, it was video poker, but it was like seven, it was 7-5 jacks or better. And I was like, no, none of that. I wandered back over to the table games, and they had a Spanish 21 table open full. They had a half a craps tub. And not only was it full, but a couple people were obviously sitting there waiting to play. And then there was a $25 blackjack table that that was fully empty. In fact, she just had the cards sort of fanned out on the table. You'll see when they're sort of waiting for players. And I walked up, and you know, I knew that. You know, having the cards fanned out meaning that she was got to go through the whole routine of getting the cards back together, getting them the machine, all this sort of. So I was like, "Would it be? Is it okay if I just play one hand?" And she was very, very kind. She's like, "Yeah, of course, sit down." So I play my I buy in for $27, $25 for my bet, $1 for a dealer bet, and then $1 chip to put in my pocket. First card comes a king. Second card comes an ace. I am up. Lifetime, because I'm probably never going back. I am up lifetime at Hollywood Perryville off of a blackjack that I got with the one hand of blackjack that I played there at their $25 table. Yeah, cashed my chips, left. Don't think I'll ever be back. But two new chips to the collection, which is always nice. Pretty soon, probably hopefully in the next week, if I can get a recording done, I'm actually going to do a video on my five favorite chips that I have thus far in my collection. That'll be up on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/thebetterlife, going over my five favorite chips in my collection. So as I mentioned, slots. Been playing slots. Now, some of you are probably, if you were driving, don't slow down and double check to make sure you're listening to The Better Life. Like, what podcast is this? While I was at Bet Bash, someone at Bet Bash mentioned to me that one of the reasons why they like the podcast, I don't even think that they're even a, they're, I think, you know, they're a sports bettor at heart. I don't think they're a casino game or anything like that. But they admitted that one of the things that they really like about the podcast is the honesty and authenticity that the podcast brings. And I really appreciated that because, you know, sometimes I never know how, you know, deep to get in some of these things. You know, I'm sure there's some people who are like, all right, Tim, enough of your emotions. Let's just talk about craps. But I know plenty of you appreciate it. And so I want to address this here. So as many of you know, someone close to me is in Afghanistan, and they have been for a while. And as you can imagine, the past few weeks have been nerve-wracking. One of the reasons why, which is not one of the reasons, it was essentially the reason why I originally took 1 week off from The Better Life. Taking that first week off from The Better Life kind of impacted me getting things last week, because last week ended up being busy with the trip up the Jersey. You know, there was other events in Kabul that that had my nerves shook a little bit. And I started playing slots when I was at the casino, both off of genuine intrigue on two specific games, Buffalo Diamond and then a game called Dragon Lights. And these are two progressive multiplier games, right? Games where there's this sort of growing multiplier free game, and then when it triggers, you get how many of our free games have built up with that multiplier, right? And for some reason, these kind of games intrigue me. I think the Harley Davidson machine is like this, right? Don't ask me why, but these games intrigue me and they get my attention. And I have found over the past few weeks that I have sort of been drawn to just finding a machine that is at a point that I find it to be worth playing. Probably not advantageous. I'm not smart enough to know like where the AP spots are, but I've been observing enough to know when maybe it's worth my while or not. And as I was playing one day, and then as I was leaving the casino, by the way, MGM National Harbor has both of these, which is why I've been able to play them. It's 10 minutes away. They're right next to each other. I can like hop from seat to seat really easily. And I was thinking, why am I doing this? Like, this is so not who I am. And what's funny is when, and this became glaringly obvious, not just while I was playing slots when I'm not normally a slot player, but when I wandered the casino, I showed up one day, there was no game worth playing of all eight machines between the two games they had. Nothing had a multiplier built up high enough though that really felt worthy of sitting down. So then I started just wandering the casino, and MGM National Harbor is a pretty decent sized property. And I was like, I'm not interested in any of this, right? Like, why am I, so like clearly slots aren't getting to me. What is it about? So then I thought the tracking of the multiplier, the anticipation of those free games that I am deciding I'm going to sit down and play in hopes of reaching this point. There was something about that exercise that was just distracting enough to really calm my mind and didn't really involve much more decision making, especially from a gambling standpoint, right? There's always that question of how much longer am I going to play. I already knew the answer to that question. I'm going to play until my budget's gone or until this thing triggers and then I'm done. And I know this to be even more so because I've recently got good news from that person over in the Middle East. Things are good, or as good as they could be, I should say. And this morning, even, I realized I was less interested in going to play. I mean, that's how differently that changed. And so with a little introspectiveness and trying to understand who I am as a gambler and understanding who I am as a person, I realized I was oddly finding comfort in playing Dragon Light slot machine. Don't ask me why it got to that point, but if you follow me on Instagram at The Better Life, you know that I shared a couple fun sort of instances that I had at that machine, including one where every reel was full of wilds. I didn't even know that was possible, but it happened. And yeah, I have been playing a couple slot machines for the sake of simplicity, to pass the time and just engage my brain just enough to feel occupied without exhausting myself. That's what I've been doing for the past couple weeks without doing the podcast, really focusing on the show. I ran up to Bet Bash. I'll mention that for the fourth time now, finally talking about it. Bet Bash was put on by Spanky. Spanky, a professional sports bettor. He's at Spanky on Twitter. He throws this event called Bet Bash in Jersey City. And there was a decent amount of like the who's who of sports betting at the event. Met a lot of people that I've engaged with on Twitter, met a whole lot more people through just normal conversation. I'm not going to try to remember some of the key people that I met because I don't want to like leave anybody out. But it was fun to meet people that I've had on the show finally in real life. It was nice to meet people that I've engaged with on Twitter. I mean, it's like a community meetup, but it was specifically sports betting. Spanky announced that Bet Bash 2 is happening the first weekend of April in 2022, and that it'll be at Circa, because of course Derek Stevens would jump on this. So I will be there. I can tell you right now that I will be there first weekend of April at Circa Bet Bash, big old sports betting event. Okay, I'm going to start going through some questions that you guys sent my way when I was unprepared going into last week, realizing, oh snap, taking a week off from the podcast means I'm not prepared for a podcast this week. So I asked everybody to send me some questions if you had anything you'd like for me to address, whether it had to do with gambling and casino playing, sports betting, or any other topic that I've like brought up on the show before, even non-gambling. Send it my way. A handful of you have some good questions here. And I will address them here. Some really good questions. This one comes from Thomas through Patreon. Shout out to all my Patreon supporters. Patreon.com/TheBetterLife. Is there a game or gambling experience that you used to engage in or really like but no longer? And he explains that for him it's blackjack. In his 20s, it was in his regular gaming rotation, but now finds it pretty boring. Adam Bauer would applaud this. I believe Mississippi Rob would as well. Blackjack is definitely on the decline. That is definitely true. Blackjack is a game that I would often consider first. And when I say like this goes pre the Better Life, right? So before I really got in, before I started this show, if I was at a casino, I would prefer blackjack. And that's, I didn't truly start playing craps until I started the Better Life. That's something, I don't know if I've really admitted that, but craps wasn't really a thing I did before I got into this community. I was introduced to Pai Gow through this community. I like roulette, but always, you know, I don't like playing roulette in America, or at least with double zero, right? So blackjack was always the game I'd go to. I don't like carnival games really all that much. Baccarat's a game that I've just learned in the past few years. You know, for as avid of as a gambler as I was coming into the Better Life with sports betting, blackjack, a history of poker, and a couple other, you know, I would fool around with other games here and there, but I didn't really understand them. A lot of like what I know and understand for about gambling, especially casino gaming, has come in the past 3 years with the Better Life, especially that first year when I was really getting into craps and I was learning Pai Gow, and just recently, and I'll get in, there's probably a series on Patreon that's going to come up on how much I'm enjoying Baccarat now. Shout out to Michael Traeger. But I think to answer your question, Thomas, what game that I used to engage in, but no longer? The answer is definitely poker. There was a time in my life where poker was it. That was the leading gambling thing, right? Sports betting was there. Casino gaming, like blackjack and such, were there. But nothing got my attention like being able to play poker, whether it was a home game with my friends or online before Black Friday. Ever since... getting out of the military, moving out to DC, sort of getting involved, you know, with online poker not being available and sort of losing my home game, I really fell out of it really quickly. And it's been well over a decade since I've ever stepped into a poker room at a casino to play. I think the last poker room that I sat in real life was at the Monte Carlo in 2011, I think, like October 2011, something like that. I say this, I'll be at the poker tournament that You Can Bet On That is putting on, but this is the extent in which I play poker anymore, is through these little, I can tell you the last time I played poker was with, was at the You Can Bet On That poker tournament 6 months ago. I'll be at the one this coming Sunday, by the way, bounty on my head, $25 Amazon gift card for anybody who knocks me out of that tournament. and I'll have a Discord channel open for us to chat while all that's going on. But, to answer your question, Thomas, poker, but blackjack is definitely on the decline. Blackjack has definitely become a game now where, I play it for in instances like I just spoke of, let me play real quick to get my chip. If I have free play, promotional chips or a free bet or something like that, blackjack's usually the first game that I go to. But if a blackjack table is crowded, I don't even bother with that. Like I'll just go to the Pai Gow table or somewhere else to play my free bet. But blackjack is usually the go-to if I have like a direct bet or free bet for table games. But blackjack definitely on the decline. Alternatively, Carl Schlegel, shout out to Schlegel Farms, unofficial sponsor of the Better Life. I'm actually enjoying my coffee this morning from my fun Schlegel Farms coffee mug. Carl asks a question sort of on the other side of that. What is the game you see at the casino and say, I wish I spent more time playing this, or wish you would at least try it? Great question. I wish I understood more video poker variants. I'm a Jacks Are Better vanilla missionary guy. I rarely will play anything else. If I do, it's because I'm at a bar top and there's a progressive on one of the variants and I'll just decide to play that. Because when I'm playing bar top, I'm just like killing time, having probably socializing, having a couple of drinks. I'm not focused so much on the sort of, well, I'm focused on the game, obviously, but I'm not worried too much about, am I getting the best situation here? When I'm on the casino floor and in a high limit room, whatever it may be, of course, I'm shopping, shopping pay tables and, you know, deciding if I'm playing based on that. But I don't know the nuances of how you play hands between JOB and bonus, double, double bonus. I especially don't understand like the other crazy shit like deuces wild and all that sort of, all those other things. So, yeah, understanding video poker variance is definitely something I wish I spent more time understanding. But I don't, I used to have, the video poker, tool that, Bob Dancer, but I switched computers and haven't gotten that software back on my new computer. And I need to do that because that's, I was trying to learn bonus poker and a couple of other things through that, but, it just takes time, you know, like to, you know, I feel very confident at a Jax or better machine. I don't feel great, very, very confident at other variants and, taking that time. I mean, I'd rather be doing other things than learning other variants, but I do, I'd say that wishing that I did understand the optimal strategy for the other variants. I wish I, well, I am intending on playing more Baccarat. After playing it at Isle Bettendorf, the squeeze game there, the $25 squeeze game, I was by myself and I understood like I got it. There was the switch went off on how that's an entertaining game now. Not MIDI Baccarat, not mini Baccarat, none of the variants where you're just sitting at the table pushing the chip out onto player or banker and then watching the dealer do their thing. Specifically a squeeze game where the players are interacting with the cards. I see the entertainment in it now, and the value from like a rating standpoint, stuff like that as well. So that's another game that I am intending on putting a little more concentration into. It requires a little bit bigger bankroll because obviously squeeze. I mean, I was lucky at this Iowa casino that the Bach table, the squeeze game, was a $25 table. You go to MGM National Harbor on the casino floor, not in a high limit room, on the casino floor. The cheapest squeeze game you can get is $100. And there's and it's $200 and $300 also on the floor. You go in the high limit room, it's a $500 table. So, won't be playing there very soon. What else we got here? People sent... Oh, you know what? A question that I didn't get in this round, but a question that I know that I got that I feel bad for never answering. And I think I should have... I should have pulled up their name here. But a month or so ago, someone asked me if how I display my casino chips, if I have like a holder or something. I'll post a picture of it on Twitter and Instagram. I have, and this was gifted to me by my good friend Mr. Rosenthal. I have a sort of case that has. It's a wooden case with a glass cover that has just shelving on it. It looks like it's built for like challenge coins, right? Like military challenge coins. But it works for chips. That's the thing. So there are some things out there that market themselves as chip holders because they know that they've picked up on that there's a market there. But if you want more options and even cooler options, look for challenge coin holders, because that's a huge industry. If you're not in the military space or the government space at this point and are unaware, challenge coins are little metal coins that represent a person, a unit, an office, whatever, some entity in the government or the military. And they used to be used on what were called mess nights, and they're called challenge coins because you would challenge each other. And whoever had the higher ranking coin would win the challenge. The other person would have to buy that person a drink. So, example, if you had, I don't know, if you had a 3-star general's coin that was like commander of a base, and then you were like, "Hi, I challenge you," and you put out your coin, and they're like, "Oh yeah, I have the Secretary of the Navy." Boom, they pull out that coin. Well, the first guy would have to buy the second guy a drink. no one really does that anymore, especially because challenge coins get just like, they get dished out like they're free t-shirts whenever whenever people go places and stuff. But a lot of people take this stuff seriously, and it's a really great representation of it's almost like a resume of some sort. Like, look at the people that I've worked with or engaged with. Anyhow, that's it. It's a huge industry. So if you look up on Amazon, Google, wherever, challenge coin holders, oftentimes the slits that you can place the coins in are just wide enough for casino chips as well. So that's a good option, I think. You can find casino chip holders that have like chip-sized indentations where you can actually place the chip in. Those are specific to casino chips. I definitely see the value in that as well. But if you want a wider option of ways to display your casino chips, try military challenge coins. Okay, Trevor Rowe on Twitter asks, I've always wanted to do a cross-country road trip, stopping at all casinos, big and small, along the way. If you were to do the same, what casinos you want to visit that you've never been to? I'm really glad you asked this, Trevor, because one of the things I hope to do in the next year is really lean into the better life and some of the things that can be done as a creator, as a gambler. And I have thought about this. I've thought about like what are like small road trips I can do, and what casinos would I hit along the way. If I took a road trip out to Vegas, like where would I stop along the way? One area that I definitely want to go to, and if I was taking a road trip, this would definitely be on that list, is the Black Hawk area, Black Hawk, Colorado. I'm really interested in seeing that area, sort of like a little gambling town. Colorado did well with sports betting, so that would be a cool place to be in. I can't remember the name of the casino. I just shared it on social media as a casino that I'd wish I'd been to. It's a small casino in Northern Maryland, just outside the West Virginia border, I think. But it's on, it's in like a park. Of course I can't, man, why can't I remember it? I just remember that there was a place I wanted to go to, and of course now I can't remember what it's called. But it's in the middle of this park, like a nature park. Beautiful area. I'd like to swing by there. There is, this is going to sound really weird because Iowa's pretty boring country when it comes to like road tripping and stuff like that, but what's kind of neat about Iowa is like there's just a casino sort of sprinkled out all through the state, and a lot of them are sort of like, of course, a lot of them are right on the border because, you know, we all know how casinos try to get as close to a state line as they can. And I've actually kind of wanted to fly into Omaha, rent a car, and then do sort of like a border trip around Iowa, stopping at all like the small local joints or all the casinos in that area, probably ending with Council Bluffs, which is right outside of Omaha, right? So I would grab the car, head north right away, and then do sort of like a clockwise trip around, or either a clockwise trip or like sort of maybe like an S trip, something that allows me to maybe swing through like the Des Moines area as well. Again, Iowa, super boring. This would not be a scenic thing, but it would be more, Iowa's a pretty fascinating state because, you know, the places where my family are, it's a pretty simple, you don't really think of it as a gambling state, but it's got, I mean, they did sports betting right. Sports betting is good in Iowa. They have lots of casinos, right? Like it's a pretty gambler friendly state. And so I've been interested in checking out all like the locals' joints and seeing the culture of the different joints and stuff like that. Mississippi Rob wants to ask, how, when, where did you begin to fall in love with casino gaming? Now, someone else asked this question, and I think they asked it over Facebook. So I apologize to that person. I'm not giving them credit here. I couldn't find that question when I came back to prepare for this episode. So, I can't give that person credit, but someone else did ask this question. But Mississippi Rob's going to get the nod, for asking it. I have to admit it's when I entered this community, that I really began to love casino gambling. So as I mentioned before, You know, my gambling life really starts, my casino gaming life really starts when I was in Barcelona for a poker tournament. Oh, I wasn't there for a poker tournament. I'm sorry. I was there and, for leave, and the friend that I was in Barcelona with, we decided to go to the local casino to see if we could play some poker. Like I said, I was in the poker. We get there and there was a poker tournament happening. I believe it was the European Poker Tour. And so the poker, there was one cash table open, and of course, it was a huge long line to get into it. So what do? We play blackjack. And I was such a noob. I split tens once. It was horrible, right? I had no idea what I was doing. That was sort of when I had played maybe a casino game here or there before then, but that's sort of when I, like, that was the first time I'd really put a lot of time, and like, I had like a, you know, a couple hours where I played it at the table versus just a few hands, maybe any time before that. And then fast forward to 2018, when I decided to start the better life, blackjack was essentially the game that I played, but I wasn't really in love with casino gaming. I definitely did not understand the games like I do now. But you know, I had a decent amount of experience in sports betting underneath my belt. I enjoyed poker, even though I don't really play it anymore. And then I come into this community and I hear people say things like Pai Gao, and I'm like, what in the world is that? Who plays Baccarat? Video poker? That's a thing. Like that's a good thing to play? I thought that was just like some stupid machine. There's for someone who came in to this community with a decent amount of gambling being done in his life, I learned most of what I know inside when I entered this community and you know really got into casino going after starting this podcast. So that's really what got me there. This is gonna sound a little weird. I really credit how much I enjoy casino gaming to Pai Gao, because I can reliably hang out at a Pai Gao table for longer than I could at other tables. Right on the same bankroll. Right, the same few hundred dollars that maybe I want to bring to a table. Pai Gao's, and so you get to appreciate a casino more when you kind of get to hang out at one table for longer. I've learned. Craps, obviously, like there's an affinity that I have for craps that many of us have for craps that just will never go away. And, but it craps, as we know, can take your money really quickly. And if you go to a casino, especially like a local joint where you're like, oh, I'll go play for a little bit, and like your session's over quickly, you're not there for vacation. There's no reason to hang around. So you just leave, right? And so I kind of credit Pai Gao for allowing me to really understand being in a casino and like hanging out in a casino for longer, right? I'd had longer blackjack sessions before that as well, but there's something about Pai Gao that really helped me understand, helped me really appreciate casino gaming. I have to also credit this community for making me the casino enthusiast that I am. The one thing that the follow-up to this, the 1B, if you will, to this, is while I was kind of a casino gambler coming into starting the better life and stuff like that, and I'm more so now, I will say that being in this community has helped me both understand the way the casino works and become an enthusiast for casinos like I never was before. And that comes from understanding players' clubs to enjoying bennies to enjoying comps to understanding how to work all that stuff, understanding the reality behind you know what you can get, what you can't get, enjoying the nuances from one casino to the next. All that stuff was born as I entered my first few months in this community of casino gamers and sports bettors. So. Props to you all for helping me out with that. Bogan Painter wants to know, what is the color order in a game of Tiddlywinks? Don't know. I was going to look it up to entertain this question, but I decided not to. Sorry, Bogan. Don't know. But Tiddlywinks in real life, are what we're pointing to in soccer. Boy, how's that continued to be fun. If you're into soccer betting, I've talked about it less on the Better Life feed because I know not everybody's into soccer. But if you're into soccer betting, at football bet is life. FUTBOL bet is life is where I tweet about betting on soccer, primarily the USL championship. Bushmill Mike. Oh, I think this is the, okay, here we go. Bushmill, it was over Twitter. Bushmill Mike on Twitter. He said, maybe you spoke about this before and I missed it, but just like how you start all interviews, how did you get into gambling? What was your first bet? Did it win or lose? And what made you fall in love with gambling? So a little bit different, answers to these questions than the one I just gave Rob. I don't know what made me so infatuated with gambling, but I remember at an early age being intrigued by gambling. The idea of being able to sort of make a decision, make a choice, and risk something on that really got to me. My first exposure to gambling was probably my dad playing poker with me, something to that extent. But something that I remember specifically early on that really made the light bulb go on in my brain of like, oh, is I was playing Little League basketball. My dad's friend picked up a ball, and we were leaving the court, or like the arena or whatever, with the gym that we were playing in. He grabs the basketball. He turns to me. He's like, "What you got on this? $5?" Or he's like, "A quarter dollar, $5. What you got on this?" And I was like, and in my head, I'm like, "What is he talking about?" He takes a shot. He misses, and my dad's like, "Oh, you could have got a dollar off that." And the light bulb went off. I was like, "Oh, is that right? You can gamble on things like this." That is a moment that I definitely attribute to sort of realizing that I'm into gambling. As I was getting older, I was into poker. I used to have a rug in my, like when I was a teenager, young teenager, I used to have a rug in my room that was like a roulette table. I remember when Golden Nugget 64 came out. I mean, I played that for days, right? you know, there was something about casino gaming that I really enjoyed. I started really getting into sports betting when I went out to North Carolina. I remember when I was stationed there, a Marine that I worked with mentioned sports betting. I was like, "Oh, you're into sports betting?" And he mentioned Bovada at the time. No, I'm sorry, he mentioned Bodog at the time. It was Bodog. So I signed up for a Bodog account. I made the most square, dumb fucking bets that you can imagine. Lost my ass the whole time. You know, that's great, right? A Marine getting, you know, PFC pay, making bets that he shouldn't be making. But, you know, I was playing poker with my friends, like in the barracks and stuff like that. And then I go overseas to be a Marine security guard, guarding embassies and all that sort of stuff. And that's when I really started getting – that's when casino gaming really started coming into play for me, because I would seek out local casinos if I had them. Now, when I was in Algiers, there was no local casinos. But when I would take leave and go over to Europe, Spain, France, stuff like that, I would seek out casinos. And at the time, it was to play poker. And I would then maybe entertain myself with some blackjack afterwards, or otherwise if I couldn't get onto a poker game. And then just before I left the Marine Corps, I discovered the Betting Dork podcast, which was hosted and produced by Gil Alexander, and that's when I heard people like Marco D'Angelo and Vegas Runner. Like, these were characters that I would hear on these podcasts. And, you know, some of you, I'm sure, are shaking your head or putting your nose up at some of those names. That's fine. But that was my introduction to the idea that there was content on gambling. That was my first introduction to, hey, people talk about this stuff. Listening to that podcast made me a better better. I mean, I immediately started noticing a difference in the bets that I would make, how often I'd win, you know, how long I could keep a certain bankroll alive. I get to Sacramento, where I first moved out to the Marine Corps. I was really only playing I was really only betting sports at this time. Again, Nevada is the only place you can do it, so I'm doing it, you know, five dimes and wherever else. And I would occasionally take a trip up to Tahoe, and I'd go make bets there. But it was far enough away where it wasn't really worth it. But I did that a couple times. Make my way out to Virginia. still betting sports. Poker is way in the rear view. And I started picking up casino gaming a little bit more, right? I would go to a casino, maybe play some blackjack, stuff like that. Sports betting still at the forefront. There was a couple years where I would kind of forget about sports bet, not forget about it, but like I wasn't heavily engaged in it. And I'd be like, oh yeah, sports betting, let me try that. I was really focused on figuring out my life post military, and I wasn't as much of a gambler as I am now. And then I started picking it up again, sports betting, going to the casino, stuff like that. And as that's happening, Gil gets the job at VSiN. So sports betting content starts becoming a stronger thing. It's kind of crazy when I look at the past few years to realize that this is actually relatively new, not just for the world or for America, I should say, but kind of relatively new to me as well. For as long as I've been sports betting, I can really only look back to the past 2 or 3 years to say that I've done it well. When it comes to casino gaming, I've been in and out of casinos since I turned 18 or 21 in most places, but I can't say that I've really become an avid casino gambler or enthusiast up until the past few years, right? Poker is really the only thing that was strong earlier in my adulthood that doesn't really exist anymore. That's essentially my life in gambling as a snapshot. I can expand on a number of those things maybe in a later episode if anybody has specific questions about any of those points in my life. But my first bet, no idea. I mean, I'll tell you this. This is one story that I'll tell. I used to play poker when I was in middle school, I think, maybe elementary school. Like I was in fifth grade or something like that. And I used to go to my friend Joel's house, and we would play poker for baseball cards. And this guy was a mechanic in fifth grade. I could never catch him doing it, but he would somehow always get great hands when he was dealing. I could never. I mean, I was too naive to know what was going on. I knew he was cheating somehow. I couldn't prove it. I couldn't see it. But he was a mechanic. Thankfully, we never bet on good baseball cards, just normal baseball cards. But he cleaned me out of the cards that don't matter. I was the sucker there for sure. I never could catch him doing it, but pretty confident he was. Those are like early gambling moments that I remember. And in those instances, I was definitely a loser. All right. I think if anybody else sent me one, I apologize if I missed it. I know I had those to talk about. I'm just doing a quick scroll here. Okay. That'll do it for Q&A. Ask Better Questions session one. I'll do this again, the next time I'm desperate for content and haven't prepared for our show. But thank you for everybody who submitted. Thanks to everybody who listens. All the first time listeners, all the last time listeners. For those of you who are like, never mind, this is it. This is the last time listening to this show. Shout out to you. Couple things coming up on the Better Life calendar. Starting with this coming Sunday, the You Can Bet on That poker tournament. It's going to be on PokerStars. I recommend listening to the most recent You Can Bet on That to get specific information. But it's on Sunday. I will be there. There's a $25 gift card bounty on my head. And then there's also, I guess there's prizes for winning it. But I'll be long gone before anybody wins it. But, if, you know, there's like, you know, 150 and I think 25 for first, second, and third. And then a $25 gift card bounty on my head, and I think Mark and Mike's as well. I will be in the Discord channel for that. I will share that a time or two throughout the week. Come join me for that. G2E, the Global Gaming Expo, is going to be in October, first full week in October in Las Vegas. I will be there. I just got my media credentials approved. I will be in Vegas. I'm going to be there. I'll get there a couple days before the before G2E starts, and then I leave, I think, the morning after G2E. I'm going to be there for the better part of a full week. So I have time to do stuff non-G2E related at the front end. I will try to keep everybody updated on sort of what my what I plan on doing. But if anybody's going to be in the area, I'd love to meet up for some group gaming or whatever it may be, because I'll have a couple of days to sort of do what I can. I'm spending those first few days at Plaza, and then for G2E, I'll actually be at Aria. And so that's, G2E, October. If you're going to be in town that first full week of October, let me know. Maybe we can, meet up to throw some dice or something. And then lastly, in December, specifically December 17 and 18, Zorkfest 2021 and Podcasters Potluck with a Gambler's Roundtable happening at the Plaza. I will be there for this as well. To get more information on this, go to travelzork.com. This is a travel and miles. See, this is an industry that I'm not really familiar with. It's a like points and miles travel, you know, event with some gambling intertwined in there. I'm there for the gambling. We all know that. I will be heavily involved with the Podcaster Potluck. So come out for that to see us there. If you want more information for that, Michael, please don't kill me for how bad I'm pitching this. Travelzork.com/Zorkfest is where you can get more information on that event. I'm looking forward to it. A weekend of hanging out downtown and learn. I'll be doing a lot of learning on the points and miles stuff and travel and stuff like that. That is a part of this whole ordeal that I just do not really grasp all that well. But then I'll also be really excited to do a bunch of gambling with people, and then of course helping with the podcast or potluck. Okay, I've run my mouth for enough time here. Thank you for everybody for being so patient on me getting this episode out. The past couple weeks have been emotionally and physically taxing, but everything is good. For those of you who are sort of like, so is everything all right over there? Everything is okay. Well, everything's good, I should say. So it's gone a step past okay, and it is actually good. I'll come back Thursday or Friday with another episode. Back to routine episodes. Got a handful of people sort of in pockets in a number of different, some couple sports bettors, got another casino gamer. Captain Jack's going to come on in the next couple weeks to talk about Unabated, which is a sports betting tool that him and Rufus have created. Rufus is going to come on to speak on sort of mental health and mental stability through being a bettor, and what it looks like for emotional health in years and years of being a professional bettor. Alex Christensen, who is on Brown Bag Bets podcast and other things, he'll be on this week to talk about being a gambler. He's a sports bettor who also enjoys spending time at the roulette table, right? Our kind of guy. So looking forward to talking to all of them. Thank you for everybody for listening. Thank you for everybody who's supporting on Patreon, patreon.com/thebetterlife. I'll come back later this week. Until then, good luck with all your bets. I'm Timothy Lawson. Good night and good luck.